We got breaking news. This is Jay Sekulow. Three states have sued the Biden administration over the crisis at the border.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
We just filed a lawsuit. We are filing another lawsuit against the Biden administration. And basically, we know that their attempt to rescind Title 42 will lead to drastic consequences on our southern border.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
Right now, it's essentially on fire, and this is what will be like throwing gasoline on a fire. So we want to stop the Biden administration from rescinding Title 42 because it may be one of the most boneheaded decisions of this administration, and they have done a lot of dumb things.
And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and we do have breaking news. So three states have filed a federal lawsuit, Arizona, Louisiana, and Missouri, against the Center for Disease Control, the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and the United States Department of Homeland Security. The issue is what's called Title 42. Title 42 is a pandemic era. This was a border policy that was put in place by the Trump administration, which was put in place in March of 2020, right when the COVID situation broke out. It was the initial response that allowed the Border Patrol agents to turn back migrants at the southern border on the grounds that they might bring in COVID-19 into the United States. This was the concern, and it was very successful. On Friday, the CDC announced that it will suspend Title 42. Title 42 is enforced through the Centers for Disease Control, but also through Homeland Security, and they said that there are new tools to deal with public health. The problem is, and you know, we pointed this out, there are still restrictions in place here in the United States. New York City school said five and under have to wear masks. I mean, there's still restrictions being put in place. And while it's good that the numbers are down, I think everybody's glad about that. The CDC is also saying there's another variant on the way. So we've got this border crisis. We had a tool that is handling it, and they're eliminating that tool. And they're eliminating that tool at the worst possible time when the illegal migration, CC, is at its it's not at its highest yet. It builds up April, May, June through the summer, but this is the first month when it starts to build up and has real consequences.
Right. So it builds up because of weather. And then when you remove these Title 42 protections, Homeland Security has estimated that that's going to mean that 18,000 unlawful migrants will cross a day, 540,000 per month. So it's going to be a huge uptick in the illegal immigration.
You know, Harry, I wonder, when you look at this, the policy's been effective. We're not out of the pandemic. No one's announced that we're out of the pandemic phase of this with COVID. They're worried about this new variant. And you've got a problem at the border. Why would you do this now?
Well, I think the primary reason is politics. And so this is probably the most politicized administration in U.S. history. So they continue to take decisions that make no rational sense, but they may indeed make ideological sense. And so what we have in this particular case is an intersection between the border crisis, the pandemic, and politics. And at the end of the day, the Biden administration will likely choose the most politicized answer possible, even though it may make zero public health sense, and it certainly doesn't make rational sense to allow our border to be flooded by up to 540,000 illegal aliens per month.
Listen to this. This is the wrong decision. It's unacceptable to end Title 42 without a plan and coordination in place to ensure a secure, orderly, and humane process at the border, said Senator Mark Kelly, Democrat from Arizona. He's not the only one speaking out on this. That's Democrat. We're going to get into all of this issue. If you're on a border state, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're in Texas, California, Arizona, New Mexico, that border area. Or if you're in an area that's being affected by this, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you on this. Don't forget, the ACJ, we're looking at this case. If it goes to the Court of Appeals, I'm pretty confident we will be filing a brief. A lot more ahead. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Share this feed with your friends. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
If you're just joining us, welcome back to the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Let me say this at the outset here. This Title 42 was put in place because of the concerns over mass migration illegally into the United States during a pandemic. Now, the pandemic has not been alleviated. It's better. But there's all these other strains coming, and the CDC is concerned about those. But the CDC was at least the agency that was tasked with Title 42 enforced by the Department of Homeland Security. But what is so concerning here is the impact, the numbers of people that will be able to get through the border with a basically, welcome to the United States, come on in. It's a staggering number.
It's a staggering number. The Border Patrol agents have made statements that they can't handle 3,000 unlawful migrants. And the Homeland Security, per day, and Homeland Security estimates it'll be 18,000, not 3,000, 18,000.
Yeah, and the processing time goes from 15 minutes under Title 42 to a minimum of an hour and 15 minutes per designee, per person, and word will get out of this. Now, the Attorney General of Arizona said that revoking Title 42 will create an unprecedented surge at the southern border. It will overwhelm law enforcement agencies. It will also, and this is true, it's going to overwhelm NGOs, non-governmental organizations, as well as Department of Homeland Security estimates that getting rid of Title 42 could result, as Cece said, in 15,000 migrants per day showing up at the southern border, which could mean 540,000, Harry, in a single month.
Absolutely. So I think what we have at issue here is the fact that the Biden administration basically has unleashed political hooligans to work at the CDC. They are lifting this Title 42 rule, and when they do that, that simply incentivizes a flood of illegal aliens. And this flood does not put the American people or their interests first. So when the CDC says, follow the science, that simply means follow the political science, because there is simply no rational reason for changing this rule unless you are driven by ideology and politics. And I think that is number one in the minds of the Biden administration.
I want everybody to hear what Harry said. They're following a science, all right. Not health science, political science. They're using this to protect their base. But if you think you don't live in, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, you've got no problem? Well, guess again, because this problem is dumped in your lap too. We've talked about the sex trafficking. They use the interstate corridors. That's a given. But this is more than that. This affects your community. In fact, CeCe's home state is getting hit with what's the number?
Right. So Missouri, and they're part of this lawsuit, they get 56 out of every 1,000 unlawful migrants end up living in Missouri, which is also a hub for the sex trafficking and human trafficking.
Yeah. So, you know, folks, this is affecting every community, and it makes no sense. It's not like we don't have the tools to do it. So let me read you another quote. This is what Title 42, despite not yet having a comprehensive plan ready, this is the decision to end Title 42, despite not having a comprehensive plan ready to show it, shows a lack of understanding about the crisis at the border. This is Kristen Sinema, Democrat from Arizona. Let me read that again. Said the decision to end Title 42, despite not yet having a comprehensive plan ready, shows a lack of understanding about the crisis at our border. Or how about this one? Senator Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire. She's up for re-election this year. She weighs in on Title 42. This is what she said. She said that lifting the order prematurely would likely lead to a migrant surge that the administration does not appear to be ready for. Senator Booker and Senator Menendez said that they stated while they support the end of Title 2, they believe that it should be done in phases. So let me tell you something. When you've got Democrats that are very pro-open borders, saying, we're not ready for this, to handle this, you got to ask yourself, what's the motivating factor here? This isn't solving a crisis. This is another one of these created crises. Policies have consequences. We say elections have consequences, and the consequences of those elections are policies. And these policies are having real consequences, and we're about to see a surge in numbers that, look, no country could handle 540,000 a month. I mean, think about that for a minute. 540,000 a month coming into the United States, and it used to take 15 minutes to deal with an individual and send them back to their country of origin. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're on a border state, California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, we certainly want to talk to you. Other states as well, where you're being impacted by this, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call. Let's go to Dave. He's calling in California. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to keep it sweet and short. Like I was telling the gentleman there, that I live approximately about 100 miles from the border, and we've had a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the fentanyl and the open border, it's crazy in our town. And then the top of that, you got people just walking the streets that you never even seen before, and you know they're migrants, and it's just phenomenal. I can't even explain it.
Well, look, I know that this is why I'm saying there's not a community in the United States, there's probably not a family in the United States that hasn't been in some way impacted by this. The fentanyl crisis is unbelievable. Where do you think it's coming in from? A lot of it is made in China, comes in through Mexico. The sex trafficking comes in through our southern border, goes right up the interstates, all over the country. Drug trafficking, the same thing. So every family is affected by this. That's the problem here. Everybody's affected, and their solution is to rip off the Band-Aid that's at least keeping the infection out of the cut. That's what makes no sense. It's so politically driven.
It is, and the Louisiana Attorney General, when they filed this lawsuit, he made a statement that presidential politics are killing public safety, and that really sums it up. It's presidential politics that are going on here, and they do not care about the safety of the American people at all.
Yeah, let me say something, because I meant to do this in the first segment, but I want to do this. Look, the situation that's unfolding in Ukraine as these Russian troops are repositioning, and what we're seeing, and the human cost of this, the shooting civilians, tying their hands behind their back, that's what the reports are. These are war crimes. This is, you know, you're targeting civilians here, the children. But again, we don't have a clear policy statement. We can't even decide whether we're going to ship the right kind of munitions or whether we should ship the right kind of munitions to Ukraine. Then we've got a border crisis on top of that. There's a lot of moving parts in our global world right now. And I just want to be clear that we're not ignoring what's happening in Ukraine. We'll probably get to that on tomorrow's broadcast. We'll talk a little bit more about the military strategy and what's happening in Washington. But let me say, back to the situation here, Jay Johnson, who was Obama's secretary, President Obama's secretary of Department of Homeland Security. So this was Obama's handpicked DHS secretary. Here's what he said.
Immigration is a very market-sensitive phenomenon. It reacts sharply to perceived and real changes in our enforcement policy up here. So the lifting of Title 42, I'm sure that news is circulating right now in Central America. If I'd had my druthers, and I don't, I would have argued, can we lift this perhaps later in the summer when it gets hotter and the numbers do slow down? We're right now in the peak season.
Well, that's exactly what we said earlier, Harry. This is, we're in the season where migration starts to pick up at an unprecedented numbers. And this is the moment. And there you got Jay Johnson. And that's another Democrat, by the way, Democrat appointee by President Obama, saying this is not the time to do this. If you want to do this, maybe in the fall, but not now.
I think that analysis is spot on, but I also am quite willing to postulate that the Biden administration is unprepared to listen to rational analysis. And so you raise the issue, Jay, of the Ukraine and its conflict with Russia. The Ukrainian conflict has displaced at least 5 million Ukrainians. And so what we're talking about on the southern border is essentially a displacement from foreign countries to the United States of up to 5, perhaps more than 5 million illegals into our country. And with that displacement, we're getting drugs, sex trafficking, homelessness, and human trafficking. So basically, the Biden administration has decided to adopt a policy that is highly irrational, highly suspect, and likely violates the Administrative Procedures Act.
And that, by the way, the two claims in the lawsuit are violations of the Administrative Procedure Act and also that the termination order is both arbitrary and capricious, which also violates what's called the Administrative Procedure Act. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast. We're going to be joined by our offices in Washington, D.C., get an analysis of what's happening up there. Lawsuit's been filed. It's very, very significant, folks. ACLJ will get involved, certainly at the Court of Appeals level. But this has got unbelievable because it's going to move very, very quickly. We'll take your calls. Our phone lines are lighting up, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. April is a matching challenge month at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. I read you three of the statements issued by members of the Democratic Party in the House and Senate that are concerned about Title 42 being rolled back. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is joining us. And Than, this is not unique to Republicans or Democrats here. What is the sense on Capitol Hill on this? I know you've been talking to people and working with them. What is going to happen here?
Yeah, Jay, the proposed rescission of Title 42, it's driving a big-time wedge between the Democrat caucus, especially in the United States Senate. And I heard some of the conversation you had with Harry just a moment ago talking about the political motives behind this. Couldn't agree more with that, Jay, but I think there's actually two sub-layers of the political calculation going here. There's the ideology, and then there's the electoral politics. Jay, they are doing this for the ideological half of that. They are doing this because they have chosen the narrative that open borders is what they're going to advance, and they can't have Title 42 on the books and enforced if they're going to double down on this. If you flip over to the other side of that, Jay, to the electoral politics of this, that's why you're seeing this wedge being driven. I mean, I think you probably read the statements from Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly. Those are maybe some moderates who maybe they would be, you know, up in the air on this either way. But when you're talking about Cory Booker and Bob Menendez and Maggie Hassan, Jay, that means that they are afraid that this is not going to play with voters come the midterms. And I got to tell you, I think they're correct on that. I think if Title 42 goes by the wayside and they take this to the ballot box, I think the American people are going to have something to say about that.
I played earlier a statement from former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson. He also addressed the numbers issue. Again, I think this is important for people to hear. This is, again, Secretary Director Johnson.
Most Americans also want a secure border.
Right.
If you go to Laredo, Texas, for example, Henry Cuellar's district, 85% Mexican-American, overwhelmingly Democratic, they want a secure border. I know, I've been there, I've heard this. 7,000 a day is not sustainable in multiple respects. It overwhelms the communities in Texas, Arizona, that have to absorb this population. It overwhelms Catholic Charities. It overwhelms the Border Patrol and ICE and their ability to keep up with these numbers.
So here's what's interesting about this. He said 7,000 a day would be impossible to keep up with. The projections are, Cece, that this will be, what, 18,000 a day?
Yes, by Homeland Security. Those are Homeland Security estimates, 18,000 a day.
Yeah. And then the Border Patrol agents, when you talk to them, you get a different number.
Yeah, so the Border Patrol officer statement that they can't handle 3,000 a day. So then we're talking about 3,000, 7,000, definitely not. Obviously, 18,000 is just unfathomable.
So, Than, what is the... So, this is the left wing of the Democratic Party is pushing this. I mean, the hard left, because Menendez is no moderate. I mean, and he's concerned about it. What happens next?
Well, they're doing it running over their own members. I mean, Secretary Johnson said it right there. Hey, Jay, it's pretty ironic, actually, that he mentioned Congressman Cuellar, because Congressman Cuellar has been right on this from the very beginning. But who ran him over, Jay? It was the White House. It was the Biden administration that actually went down to his district and said, no, we're not going to listen to your concerns on this. We're going to do this anyway. So what's going to happen, Jay? I mean, I think they're going to go through with this rescission. And probably the hope here is built on this lawsuit that's brought by the states. I know we're looking into supporting that challenge. But, Jay, one other point I'd make on this. This is why, even though the news has left it behind, we continue to push our Freedom of Information Act request with the Department of Homeland Security, because it's not just Title 42. It's also the Migrant Protection Protocols. It's Remain in Mexico. It's all of those programs, Operation Talon, that the Biden administration has walked away from. Cumulatively, Jay, what does that lead to? It leads to another surge on the border. I guarantee it.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Tim's calling from California on the border. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Why does the Biden administration want to risk the possibility of spreading the coronavirus in my state of California? And if Title 42 is lifted, California is going to be inundated with the coronavirus. Why is that?
Well, look, this is what Harry said. They're playing political science, not science, because the truth of the matter is, while the virus is down and the number of deaths, thank the Lord, are down, it's still 700 or 800 a day. People are dying from, now it's a lot less than 4,000 and 5,000, but they're also talking about these other variants coming in that could be more powerful and more deadly. So we're going to find out. This is because you know how these things work. In the summer, the stuff spreads more, like every other disease. And that's going to be the height of the migration crisis. The literal height of the crisis is going to be there. And that's why they're not it's what Harry said. They're not following science. They are following political science. But the consequences of this for our communities are very real, Cece.
Yes. So, again, it's presidential politics are killing public safety. We do not care about the American people. We have restrictions, COVID restrictions, still on people that live in the United States, but we're opening up our border and we don't care who's coming through. We have no COVID restrictions for the illegal influx of immigration that's coming across the border. It does not make sense other than it's politics reigns supreme and they don't care about anything else.
No, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, and these are all political decisions, folks. Now, we're in the three states are in court on legal issues, and we're going to engage those at the Court of Appeals level. Let's go ahead and take Bill's call. He's calling from Wyoming. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Colorado's our southern border, and there's two interstates that go through the state. I've got a question and a comment. Now, all presidents have taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, how is this rescinding the Title 42 going to protect not only the Constitution but the rest of the nation here?
Well, look, I think this is a really bad policy decision on behalf of the Biden administration. But when you have an elected president, when someone becomes the president of the United States, they can put forward policies with the House and Senate. So elections have consequences. This is one of the consequences of that election. So I do think it's a dereliction of responsibility. It's not an impeachable offense. I never go there. But there is a significant part of the Democratic Party fan that is saying this is a not smart move.
Yeah,
and they can't get the attention
smart
of the Biden administration? I mean, it's unthinkable to me.
The Biden administration is choosing a narrative over their political allies on this one, Jay. They really are. I mean, it's why both Arizona Democrat senators are speaking out, because they know their constituents saw those camps along the border last spring and summer when this was happening. And by the way, Jay, those kids that were in those camps last summer, those are the ones who are going to pay the heaviest price for this provision. Because think about this. Those were happening, Jay, while 100,000 people a month were being expelled from the country under Title 42. So you're going to see those camps again with the 100,000 a month, Jay.
Yep.
On top of that, that's going to be the consequence.
And it's heartbreaking when you see that for these kids and for these families. It is. And then you've got the coyotes that are running the drugs or the sex trafficking in. This is a humanitarian crisis.
It is. Again, we're not caring about, not only are we not caring about American people, we're just not caring about human beings, period. Because, again, like we said, open borders,
horrible.
It's drugs, it's gangs, it's terrorists, and it's human trafficking, and that involves little children. And that is, it's unthinkable.
It's unthinkable, it's unconscionable. And why are we doing, you know, the problem is, what Jay Johnson is right, is once we announce we're getting rid of Title 42, it spreads throughout the region. And so these people now think, oh, now we can come up. If they knew the borders were closed like they have been, secured, they didn't do that. They didn't smuggle kids in the back of cars, packed in 40 kids in the back of a car. That's what we're talking about. We're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell coming up in the next half hour. Share this feed on your social media, wherever you're watching this, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube. We'll be back with more in just a moment. We'll take your calls also at 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Seculo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the program. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've touched on the situation in Ukraine. I just want to say this again because it's bothering me. The crisis that we're seeing there, not just with the war, which is horrible, but the consequences of that war. And the fact that Russian troops look like they have been executing civilians in the streets, tying their hands behind their back. The number of kids that have been killed. This is an outrage. These are war crimes. Now, what's the tribunal for that? Different question. But the President Zelensky spoke today to the Secretary, the Security Council, to UN, basically saying we're getting run over here. And I don't think the Russians are done fighting. I think they're repositioning and they're going to go after Odessa. We'll have more of that with our military experts next week, later this week. But, Than, I want to quickly go to you on this. On the Russia thing for a moment, because I do want to talk about, we'll get back into Title 42. What is the sense of Congress generally on what to do to help Ukraine? I know it's a complicated matter.
Yeah, it is a complicated matter, Jay. I think that there is unified support in the Congress that the United States should come to the aid of Ukraine, but how they do that is something that there's not nearly as much unanimous agreement. I'll tell you this, though, Jay. I think there's been a pretty significant shift in the sentiment that President Biden waited too long to do something. I really do. I don't think that was the case a couple of months ago. I think that was pretty much a partisan question. Now, Jay, I think if you got an honest moment with Democrat senators and congressmen, I think you would say they would say in great uniformity that they think those sanctions should have come down much sooner, yeah. Much swifter, and in a much more significant way. I think in retrospect, looking at the crimes that Vladimir Putin has committed, I think there's probably been a shift in the caucus on that question.
All right. Well, here's what our UN Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield had to say just a few moments ago.
As we work to independently confirm the events depicted in these images, I would remind this council that based on the currently available information, the United States has assessed that members of Russia's forces have committed war crimes in Ukraine.
Of course, understand this. The Security Council, okay, right now the United Kingdom is the president, but about 7 weeks ago, it was the Russians.
Right. So on the Security Council, every month the presidency changes. So in February, Russia was sitting as the president of the Security Council. And that's about when this all took place. And yet they're with impunity. Basically, they sit on the Security Council. They're in the Human Rights Council members with no repercussions at all.
Yeah, and they're part of the P5, the Permanent Five. So it's very, very complicated. On Title 42, talking about complicated, it wasn't complicated. It's worked. It's kept our borders more secure. It has not allowed mass migration in unprecedented numbers. The Biden administration is going to lift that, even though members of the president's own party is saying, do not do this right now. It's dangerous because we're looking at, Jay Johnson said, we played this earlier, 7,000 a day is a number that DHS cannot handle. 18,000 is what the number is expected to be, which would be twice that. And if you talk to Border Patrol agents, they have a different number.
Yeah, Border Patrol agents are saying they can't handle 3,000. So 7,000 is ridiculous, and 18,000 is unconscionable. There's no way that they can handle that.
The humanitarian crisis here is going to be unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be unreal, folks. And the administration is, like, totally clueless. And their own party apparatus, their own party practitioners are saying don't do this. Menendez, Booker, Sinema, Kelly, these are Democrats. And they're still bent on doing this. Dan, we only got 40 seconds. Is there any chance this order is not rescinded?
I think they're committed to it, Jay. I mean, look, they know they're throwing their own senators under the bus. I think they're going to do it anyway. I really do. Real quickly, Jay, think about the adjudication process. Already overwhelmed. Imagine how many years it's going to take once you layer these 100,000 or whatever the number is going to be on top of that.
Yep. Rick Rennell's joining us next. We'll talk to him about this crisis. We'll talk to him a little bit about what's going on over in Russia, too. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. If you're on Rumble, we're glad you're there. Safe spot to be. YouTube, Facebook, kind of at your own peril, but there you are. Share it with your friends. We'll be back with more.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Our senior policy analysis expert and also on our international projects and national intelligence, Rick Grinnell, is joining us, part of our team, of course. Rick, we got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about this Twitter situation. Elon Musk makes a pretty bold investment. Not pretty bold, a big investment into Twitter, a publicly held company. Twitter, has, as we know, is not, and I want to be clear on this, they are not the marketplace of ideas, okay, which is what we talk about when we talk about concepts of free speech. You sometimes can get away with your statements, almost, but if you're a conservative, you're definitely on the list, and the president of the CEO of Twitter has said as much. So how do you view this move, Rick? I mean, Twitter is still the big platform for this, though. I mean, they are still the biggest platform for this kind of social engagement.
Yeah, I think Elon Musk said it best. He called it the de facto public square, and I think that that is largely true. We have to remember that Elon Musk is not a conservative, but Twitter went so far radical left that even those who are in the middle, or maybe middle left, suddenly were lost by what Twitter was doing. I think that Elon needs to clean house at Twitter. You need to send a big, strong message that what they've been doing to silence free speech, to shadow ban, to kick President Trump off, but to keep the Iranian regime and Putin on. I mean, there's just, the double standard is so glaring that they don't have a case to talk about being able to support free speech. I think that if Elon does a quick cutting of you know, the CEO and everybody who's in the office of censorship, it would send a powerful message to the rest of corporate America.
You know, where Elon Musk is absolutely correct. I mean, and it's consequential when you use the term marketplace of ideas, because when we talk about the phrase marketplace of ideas, that's a legal term of art. If something is the marketplace of ideas, usually, not always, because there has to be government action, but if something's the marketplace of ideas, that means it's the place most appropriate for free speech, Cece. That would, then when you say the marketplace of ideas.
Right. You would think that free speech would be allowed there. And when Elon Musk said he was looking forward to making significant improvements to Twitter in the coming months, I hope that he does that. I hope they are significant and they are improvements for free speech.
Yeah. So, you know, Rick, the truth is, I mean, they're not a state actor. So it's not, you don't have First Amendment protection like you would if you were to sue them. If it was a government that was doing this kind of censorship, viewpoint-based discrimination or something like that, you don't have that. But it is, you know, it is supposed to be this kind of free-flowing idea of marketplace of information. It's not. Do you think that someone with Elon Musk's clout and now investment, because that becomes a big part of this, could move the needle here?
Yes, and you just hit it on the head. It's the investment, right? It's not right. Elon Musk saying to Twitter, hey, guys, you know, you're not very fair. They've largely ignored all of the big voices that have attacked Twitter for not being fair, for censoring certain speech. They have not done a thing until the investment, exactly as you say, Jay, the money talks. And what I love about Elon Musk is that he puts his money where his mouth is. And I would say to a whole bunch of other billionaires in this country who have a passion for America, you got to put your money where your mouth is. You can't just sit on the sidelines and complain and have seven houses. Let's see you put your skin in the game. Let's see you invest in some of these companies that won't change, and then you push for change. That is going to help, I think, save America. Again, I'll just finish with this. Every great civilization has lasted roughly 250 years, and I think we have to take Ronald Reagan's admonishment to fight for the freedom of every generation. We have to fight right now.
And these are the new avenues of communication. You cannot deny it. The social media outlets. And another aspect of this, Rick, and then I want to go to move to this Title 42 situation, but another aspect of this is, for good or for ill, Twitter is going to be the big one. I mean, it is the big one. So it's controlling, right now at least, most of the marketplace of that type of social media engagement is Twitter. There are others that have started. Some have started and not done so well. Some have started and failed. Some are starting and trying to get going. It's not been easy for these other other companies to get going.
Yeah, it's not been easy. Twitter got a jump out in front. I have to say, I love Truth Social. And the engagements on Truth Social are just as big, if not bigger, than Twitter. And I'm enjoying Truth Social because I know that no matter what we say, our ideas are not going to be censored.
Yeah, well, I think that's all great. But again, you can't ignore the monolith in the room. And the monolith is Twitter. They are still the big player here. And if any move towards free speech is going to be a good move. All right, let's move to Title 42. This was put in during your administration. It was while we had the COVID crisis going on, we're not going to let people just flow through the borders. You've got Democratic members of the Senate, Menendez, Walker, Booker. You've got members, Kelly. Mark Kelly has also said this. Don't remove Title 42. It's the wrong time. It's going to create chaos at the border. And this is their president, Democratic president, and these are Democratic members of the House and Senate. Sinema also said this, and they're being ignored. And they're right now, and we just had our head of government affairs on, and Than thinks it's going to be rescinded.
Look, you've got a huge problem here because the Biden administration has announced that on this date in May, I think it was May 23rd, there is going to be a crisis at the border greater than what there is now. Now, we all know right now it's terrible. We almost don't even have a recognized border, and it's only going to get worse. We've seen reports that people are getting their situation together. They're planning. They're packing. They're going to move on the border on this date. I have to say, too, though, I don't understand why dropping this COVID mandate is happening without having the mask mandate dropped on the plane. There's a whole bunch of other mandates that should be dropped at this time. Why this one? Why now?
Well, because it's Harry Hutchinson said, Rick, early in our broadcast, who's our director of policy, and he said it perfectly. They're not being governed by the science. Oh, yes, it's science, political science. That's what this is really all about. We've got a great call coming in. I want to take it. Stephanie from Texas. And by the way, folks, we're going to take more calls during the next segment. So you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Stephanie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, sure. So I'm a small business owner here in the construction sector in Texas. And one of the things we see working in cycles, being a native my whole life here, and I'm in my 30s now, is we see a lot of the illegal influx, and then we see super cheap labor, which obviously is a form of trafficking because the guys who are hiring them are incentivized to not say anything, obviously for profit's sake, which is pretty common in some of the upper levels that are allowed, but not allowed here. You know, these guys, they have no recourse in there, and they have access to single family residences for businesses. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a trickle up effect in insurance and a lot of things because, you know, I mean, this is huge. You have thousands and thousands of guys that are staying in these day labor sections.
Oh, I know.
You know, what happens with desperation?
Well, this is Rick, this is what we were talking about, that these decisions have consequences for Americans every single day, for families, whether it's the fentanyl situation coming in through Mexico, made in China coming through Mexico, whether it is the labor situation that's driving things up. This is the problem. It affects everybody.
Look, Stephanie sounds very smart on this issue. Obviously, she's on the front lines in Texas. And those on the front lines understand not only the grassroots implications of seeing a porous border, but they also see the hypocrisy of what government is doing. And I think that's what she is really getting at. And she couldn't be more right. Those on the front line see it every day. But unfortunately, I think every state is starting to become a border state and starting to see this exact problem. Our lawmakers have to confront problems. They need to close the border and recognize if you don't have a border, you don't have a country.
You know, Rick, what you just said is absolutely right, because Cece Hiles, one of our senior counselors, here with me today, and she said she was doing research for this. Even her home state of Missouri, which you wouldn't think, it's not a border state, is impacted by this.
It is impacted, and the AG stated that 56 out of every 1,000 unlawful migrants ends up in Missouri. Again, not a border state, but you hear story after story about all these unlawful migrants being shipped into every state across the United States. 56 out of 1,000 end up in Missouri.
So when you got 18,000 coming in starting in May a day, that's going to be a big number. This is Rick, the problem is huge. Last thing, very quickly, we got less than a minute. Ukraine, Russia, what we're seeing with what these Russian troops purportedly have done here is horrific.
Yeah, and let's just remember that it's reportedly. It looks awful. Your heart is breaking when you see this. There has been Russian disinformation put out. There's been Ukrainian disinformation. Look, at the end of the day, I don't think as an American you can look at the situation and not have your heart break and think, where's the UN? Where are the humanitarian groups? How do we help?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. No, I appreciate it. Rick Rennell, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. As always, appreciate your insight. All right, folks, coming up for the last segment, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, on the border, on the economy. We had a lot of calls on the price of fuel. What's happening there? We'll take all those calls, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get comments in via our social media platforms. We're monitoring those as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We're going to be back with the last segment coming right up.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. As I said, we're going to go right to our phone. Sarah's calling from Maryland. Actually, I need to take Marissa first. Sorry about that, Sarah. We'll go to you next. Marissa, Washington State, you've been holding for a long time. Go ahead. You're on the air.
My question is that this administration has not done anything correct. I mean, I don't think it's about policy, their bad policy, or they don't have a clue. I think their policy is to destroy this country frame by frame. But what I'm asking is, do we wait till 2024 election?
Well, look, you've got to wait till the midterm elections and you see if the Republicans get into the House or the Senate, and that affects how the legislation can get through. But presidents can still use executive orders. But, you know, we go back to this, Harry. You're our director of policy. You know, when you have a presidential election and then through whatever mechanisms, the person becomes president, that president then has the authority to issue executive orders or to work on legislation passed by the House and Senate, putting initiatives forward. That's how policy is created. So it's you can't say we hate your policies, impeach the guy. That's not, we don't believe in that. They try that stuff. We don't do that. But it is but the policy situation, what Marissa's saying, is very serious.
I think it is. And part of the issue, of course, is many voters fail to think from a long-term perspective. And politicians recognize that. And so they play on the short-term fears of people. And I think most individuals, for instance, in the last election, who voted in favor of President Biden, did not do so because they were stunned by his brilliance or, for instance, his prior policy success. They were reacting to the incumbent, but they weren't necessarily reacting to the incumbent's policies. And so I think at the end of the day, the American people, I think, need to look at themselves in the mirror and say, we need to consider the long-term policy implications on questions of, for instance, of the pro-life cause, with respect to Supreme Court nominees, with respect to protecting our borders. Those are issues that we need to think long and hard about.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, to the extent that the American people reassess how they vote, that can make a long-term difference. I also think that many Americans are, in fact, beginning to think about those issues because I think the Biden administration has been such an unmitigated disaster.
I said the other day, I know the tweets were driving people crazy, but the policies are great in the previous administration. The tweets, a lot of people didn't like, but the policies. And these policies have consequences. And look, I mean, you know, I'm taking another call in a moment here, but these consequences of these policies, we're talking about this Title 42 thing. I mean, this impacts everybody in the United States.
Yes, and the past administration was definitely pro-American. You cannot deny that. Again, you might not like the tweets. You might not like personal things about President Trump, but the policies were definitely protecting Americans. Like Harry said, from the womb on, we were energy independent. Everything was for America. And like the last caller stated, it seems like this administration, the policies are anti-American. Everything is to hurt the public safety and the
right.
Americans.
You didn't have a war between Ukraine and Russia. So you didn't have a war in Eastern Europe. You had energy independence. Now we're energy dependent. You had, when there were migration issues, and there were during every administration, they were controlled. We had border security. We had a pipeline that was being put in place that would have pumped tens of thousands of barrels a day, more than hundreds of thousands a day, and all of that stopped. So that's the consequences of what happens in that situation. Sarah's calling from Maryland. She's on line one. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. I'm Sarah. It's glad to talk to you.
Yeah,
it's
there you go.
6 years since I've been able to get in.
Oh, great.
We are all border states. I live in Little El Salvador, suburban D.C. I love the Hispanic people. They might, after all, be our saving because of their values. However, what is going on is not just anti-Trump. It's far more nefarious. I speak Spanish. I know that the people who are coming here are not legally. don't have a great attitude about us, and they're covetous and jealous. Not the good people that came here the right way, or even people that worked their way into legality. But I've seen here in D.C. people coming here saying, I get what they get. Why should they have it? You know, I speak a few languages, but I understand.
Yeah. Look, I mean, there is, you have to kind of separate, or at least compartmentalize, how you deal with the people. There are people that are desperately trying to get here for freedom because their situation is horrible. There are kids being brought here. They don't even know why they're being brought here, and they may be trafficked. You've got drugs. You got others bringing in drugs in unprecedented numbers. So all of this means secure the border. But you have to have a priority.
Right.
And if it's not a priority, it doesn't happen.
Right. And with immigration, we also have we have laws, and let's follow those. And
yeah,
let's get
good.
Here legally instead of illegally. I mean, that's why they're called illegal immigrants,
yeah,
because
have,
they're not following the law.
We have a robust immigration system in the United States. We encourage immigration here.
Right.
I mean, my grandparents were immigrants.
Yes, and so is my wife.
Yep.
She's an immigrant from Canada. She came here legally.
Right.
She's now a citizen. So we have rules and procedures in place. But the progressive elite globalists, they don't like those rules, and so they are quite willing to abrogate the rules in order to support their political preferences. And so one of the things that the American people need to be cognizant of is that many of the things that the Biden administration has done, those things are outside of the parameters of the Constitution.
Right.
They may indeed be illegal. And so if you focus, for instance, on their change in Title 42, more likely than not, they have not complied with the Administrative Procedures Act.
Right.
And if they indeed were forced to comply, then as Jay Johnson, Obama's former DHS secretary, notes, this would alleviate some of the problems,
right,
because then if there was a rule change,
sure,
with respect to Title 42, it would happen in the summer, and that would more likely than not reduce the level of illegal immigration.
Yep. Nick's on the line. Very quickly, Nick, we got less than a minute here. Go ahead.
Yeah, isn't the Democratic Party leaving the borders wide open just so they can lock in Democratic votes for the future?
Well, there's a lot of argument that a lot of people make that argument, that that's what this is all about. But I'm going to tell you something. I think it's, and it may be that's part of it, but I'm going to say it. What's happening on the border and what's about to happen is going to be horrific again. So you're going to see pictures coming out of Russia and Ukraine that are horrible. You're going to be seeing pictures on our U.S. border that are going to be horrible. That's not what's best for America. That's not America first. It's not even a good plan. Do what, I mean, I can't even believe I'm going to say this. Do what Senator Mark Kelly, what Senator Kristen Sinema, what Senator Hassan, what Senator Menendez have said. Don't just alleviate Title 42. Keep it in place and then put a plan in place. But Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, doesn't think that's going to happen. So what do? We fight back. So three states have filed a lawsuit. We'll engage that lawsuit at the Court of Appeals. I'm sure it's going to move very, very quickly. This is what's at stake for the summer for the United States of America. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We started our April Matching Challenge. You could do that at aclj.org. It's the easiest way to do it, aclj.org. A little bit of breaking news on the Durham matter we're going to discuss tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.